Then in 64, of course, Civil Rights Act, and then it must have been nice to see a Public Accommodation Act, and all this is taking place, and pretty soon we become integrated. Booker T. Washington was a voluntary desegregation.
Yeah.
Were you around any of that when that happened?
Oh, absolutely. That was a big part, and my congregation. All Souls, Church of the Madeleine, Temple of Israel, John Knox Presbyterian, College Hill, and Memorial Methodist. But mainly it was Temple of Israel, All Souls, and Madeleine Parish that seated most of the students that went out there.
To Booker T. Washington, which, for the record, was a black high school. And
yeah,
then
my son went out there. He was in there in the beginning.
Dr. Bruce Howell was a superintendent then.
Mm-hmm. Since we're talking about school superintendents, you might mention your relationship with Charles Mason, because that's about the same period of time.
Well, that was 2 years later, 66, 67, I think it was. Dr. Mason was heard to have said that he didn't know what the word integration meant. So I said in my sermon in the pulpit, a superintendent of schools who does not know what the definition of the word integration is incompetent and ought to be fired. And it was the sermon on the last days of Dr. Mason, which Beth Macklin was there to hear and published the whole thing in the paper.
It's fair to say you ran him out of the office, though, isn't it?
Well, yes. We had the meeting, and it was 200 people, biggest school board crowd that ever had assembled. We challenged him on this and went to the meeting, and he resigned before we got there. Beasley or something was the president of the school board then, and he accused me of preaching.
First time.
Accused me of preaching. There's a picture of me standing in those days. One of the members of my congregation said, John, you are the ugliest man I've ever seen, and I'm going to have to join this church because you're going to need all the help you can get. I got a crew cut, big ears, and buck teeth, and I'm standing there with my arms like this and facing down the school board.
So Charles Mason did not know what integration meant.
That's what he said. He said that, yeah.
So he was a segregationist then?
I would imagine. I don't know that. But I would imagine. He simply didn't want to rock the boat. The governor, he was the hero of this piece. He said, this is the law, and we're going to obey it. Period. That made all the difference, from the top right straight down.
There was also a legal aspect to the history of the desegregation of Tulsa Public Schools. For example, forced busing had already started in Oklahoma City, which had much the same kind of situation.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and it was threatened here by a federal judge unless the community could come to an agreement to do it voluntarily. And that was the birth, really, of Booker T. Burroughs,
Carver, the whole magnet school idea.
The whole magnet school idea.
Yeah.
Booker T., for a time, was known as All Souls North.
Yeah.
It became a magnet school in 1975. And it had a lot of Unitarian people who had come through All Souls Church and whose families belonged to that church.
And were really leaders in getting it set up.
So it was supported in a number of ways.